The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, Newsweb Radio.
Senator Collins, thanks for coming in.
It's a great pleasure, thank you.
This ship that was involved in the incident off Western Australia this week...
Yeah, the one the front fell off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very typical. I'd like to make that point.
Well, how is it untypical?
Well, there are a lot of these ships going around the world all the time, and very seldom does anything like this happen. I just don't want people thinking that tankers aren't safe.
Was this tanker safe?
Well, I was thinking more about the other ones.
The ones that are safe?
Yeah, the ones the front doesn't fall off.
Well, if this wasn't safe, why did it have 80,000 tonnes of oil on it?
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't safe. It's just perhaps not quite as safe as some of the other ones.
Why?
Well, some of them are built so the front doesn't fall off at all.
Well, wasn't this built so the front wouldn't fall off?
Well, obviously not.
How do you know?
Well, because the front fell off and 20,000 tonnes of crude oil spilled into the sea caught fire. It's a bit of a giveaway. I just like to make the point that that is not normal.
Well, what sort of standards are these oil tankers built to?
Oh, very rigorous maritime engineering standards.
What sort of thing?
Well, the front's not supposed to fall off for a start.
And what other things?
Well, there are regulations governing the materials that they can be made of.
What materials?
Well, cardboard's out.
And?
No cardboard derivatives.
Like paper?
No paper. No string, no sellotape.
Rubber?
No, rubber's out. They've got to have a steering wheel. There's a minimum crew requirement.
What's the minimum crew?
Oh, one, I suppose.
So the allegations that they're just designed to carry as much oil as possible,
and
all the consequences, I mean, that's ludicrous.
Absolutely ludicrous. These are very, very strong vessels.
So what happened in this case?
Well, the front fell off in this case, by all means, but it's very unusual.
But Senator Collins, why did the front book fall off?
Well, a wave hit it.
A wave hit it?
A wave hit the ship.
Is that unusual?
Oh, yeah. At sea... chance in a million.
So what do you do to protect the environment in cases like this?
The ship was towed outside the environment.
Into another environment?
No. It's been towed beyond the environment. It's not in the environment.
No, but from one environment to another environment.
No, it's beyond the environment. It's not in an environment. It has been towed beyond the environment.
Well, what's out there?
Nothing's out there.
Well, there must be something out
there. There is nothing out there. All there is sea and birds and fish.
And?
And 20,000 tonnes of crude oil.
And what else?
And a fire.
And anything else?
And the part of the ship that the front fell off. But there's nothing else out there.
Senator Collins, thanks for joining us.
Complete void.
Yeah, we're out of time.
The environment's perfectly safe. We're out of time.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Allsup Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And yes, I have survived the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Well, actually, I haven't quite survived it yet. I've got one more day. And I have to tell you that our lovely Sarah Batka is not here this morning. She texted me this morning and said, I've been working at the, you know, and she's the Cook County Master Gardener Coordinator, which means that all those folks who are Master Gardeners, she set up their volunteer booth at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. So, and you gotta understand, Master Gardeners are wonderful. They have all these volunteer hours that they put in, and one of the places they do it is the Garden Show, and the Garden Show goes from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every night, except for today. At weekends, it goes from 10 to 6. And you have to staff those booths, and that's what she's been doing. And I have a feeling that when she couldn't find somebody, she was the one over there answering questions for gardeners. And so she texts me this morning, like 7 a.m., and says, I don't think I'm going to make it in. I'm so tired.
Poor Sarah.
I know. And for once, I didn't get all crazy about it. I've been there. Maybe you were too tired to respond. I've been there for 8 days, and I said, "Oh, sure, I get it. I understand." So we're going to make Rob tweet today. We'll make.
I'm on it.
Okay, and I appreciate that. Rob Carthol in the studio, and that's Lisa Albrecht and Denny Sheeter and. And no, Sarah, we're Sarah-less in Chicago today, but I totally get it, Sarah. And if you're listening, we love you and great job. Congratulations on that hard work. That, you know, that's the thing you don't understand. You get a big show like this downtown. There's a lot of people behind the scenes and people who volunteer, who come in and do stuff that you just take for granted. Now, the other people I have to express sympathy for are the people in the marketplace where you have a booth and anybody, and there's, I'll bet there are people in this room like you, Lisa. I'll bet you've been in shows where you've staffed a booth for solar power, right?
And you're standing the entire, you don't even have time to go to the bathroom, which fortunately you don't have time to drink, so you don't need to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
So it's exhausting and it's backbreaking.
And Wes King is here from the Illinois Stewardship Alliance. I bet you've done that a few times, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And we'll get to him in a second. But and by the end of it, you just get
numb.
You just want to lie down.
Yeah.
And just have somebody be nice to you. And
I hope Sarah's sipping a cup of tea and
but the show
up.
Yeah, I hope so, too. The show's been great. And, you know, it was just one of a couple of shows in town this week. We had the Good Food Festival on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wes, I know you were part of that. I was there yesterday speaking. And wow, that place was rocking. There was a lot of good energy there.
Oh, it was great. The attendance was amazing. My mouth was dry and hoarse by the end of it all from talking to so many people.
Yeah, you had a booth there, as you usually do. And so those things happen. Sometimes there's just a lot going on. In fact, it's Chicago. There's always a lot going on in the city of Chicago. And my kudos to all the people who take the time to go out and be part of this and volunteer their time and do good things, get important issues out there in the public. And speaking of important issues, I brought back from our town with Mike Sanders, W.C. Turk, because you brought up something that's really an important issue, which is the competing fracking bills in the state of Illinois. Why don't you pull that mic over and talk to me just a little bit, and Wes might jump in as well. I have been approached by several people to do something, and I really wanted to do something on today's show because I know the bills are scheduled to come out of committee probably this week. Mm-hmm. Who knows the way things work in Springfield. I'm definitely going to do something next week on this. And I just really briefly, because this was not on the agenda, but when I heard you talking, I said, we got to talk about this right now at the beginning of the show, because this is so important. Fracking is such a potential catastrophe in the state of Illinois. And then there's the people who look at it as such a potential windfall of cash. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the other states, that hasn't really been the case. You look at Ohio, even the governor of Ohio, Kasich, said, well, where's the money? Where are the jobs?
There's been really, despite all the hype, there's been relatively few jobs created. There's actually been a loss of jobs in a number of areas. There's been a collapse in home prices, property values in a number of locations as well.
You just pull that mic your way and you pull yours your way, and that way we won't have any competing microphones.
Gotcha.
There.
Yeah, okay. So the windfall, if there has been a windfall for fracking, has actually been for a relatively small number of people.
Well, isn't that the way it always works?
It is.
Come on, but I mean, look at the Mississippi sand situation and Starved Rock. Who's going to get the money? That company's going to get the money, and it's going to go out of state someplace.
Yeah.
The poor diluted county board members think all this money is going to come flooding into the state. And what's basically going to happen is the county is going to have a bunch of open pit mines, and most of that money is going to go away. Yep. There's going to be a few jobs for a few years. It's not worth it. There's no payoff for it. Follow the money, they say. Follow the money.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just not there. And you know, we were talking last week with Michael Roper from Hopleaf, talking about beer and fracking and how this could potentially affect beer. And earlier we were talking about New York.
I won't stand for it.
Exactly. In Pennsylvania, the Omegang Brewery is talking about going out of business. Because of the fracking issue, because water is so essential to that. So if you can't motivate people by threatening their beer, I don't know what you can do. but this really feels like very much like the gold rush of the 1840s and 50s, in which a relatively few number of people made any money. There was an environmental catastrophe. The estimates are that over 100,000 Native Americans probably lost their lives during that period. Crime. There are houses all over California and Washington and Oregon that are ghost towns that
sure.
disappeared after after that. So there's a lot of hype here. It's being driven by a few wealthy people. And apparently, and you might want to get close to the dump button here, because this week was really frustrating and angering for environmentalists and anyone who's close to this issue.
But you're not going to swear here, are you?
I'm going to try. There was so, you know, we felt that we
I
were
don't even
so
know
close.
Where the dump button is. Oh, let me look for that. I know it's
no,
your
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. But we felt that we were so close to a win here with a moratorium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know why? Because the environmentalists got played by Michael Madigan, okay? And I saw the press release that came out a few days ago. I got it, and I went, wow, that's interesting. That's kind of unlike Madigan to do something like that. It's a leopard changing his spots. And then, of course, 2 days later, a day later, right? It was
within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't you explain? You did explain it on Our Town, but briefly,
very, very briefly, we were asking for a moratorium on fracking in southern Illinois. Not the least of which is the environmental impact that sits where they'll do that sits astride one of the strongest and most potent fault lines in the nation. I believe
that's
it was
true. The new Madridge, yeah,
exactly. That rang church bells.
And that,
in
you know, I hadn't even
Chicago.
Thought about that because
that's
we
it.
They're now. I don't think there's it's been proven that fracking causes earthquakes, but it's certainly
there is a lot of data. As a matter of fact, the British government initially had, because of some quakes in northern England, put a moratorium on fracking. They now have seismic limits because their data was so strong that this was responsible for, that fracking was responsible for that. And we had the issue in Ohio with tremors.
Sure.
In Ohio.
And there have been scientific studies that have come out to say, yes, there is a connection. Now, are there tons of them? No, because it's still early. And scientists are not going to necessarily connect those dots until they have, you know, definitive research. But certainly the people who own the fracking wells are, you know, really quick to say, oh, that wasn't us.
Exactly.
That
and that's the idea behind the moratorium.
Well, aren't they? They're even suing people who light their sinks on fire and say that.
And post it on YouTube.
And post it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like Monsanto, suing the farmers for the seed that's
very
blown
so.
Into their lands and saying, you stole our seed.
Yeah.
And that's what the moratorium is about. It's not necessarily about stopping the industry of fracking as much as it is
slowing
that
process down.
Exactly.
Right. Let's pause, look at this rationally, understand the implications, and then make an educated assessment.
Yeah, but
a
you
risk
know,
assessment,
all those other states are going to get that money if we don't.
Let them have it. You know, we are an agricultural state. I do not understand. We are an agricultural state. And if everybody else is destroying their water and destroying the one thing that we really have to offer this nation, and that is food. Why is oil so important to us that our number one thing that we can sell, our number one product, is the most important for humanity, and we're willing to risk it for oil and gas, for natural gas?
Brian Murray, did you want to get in here?
Apparently.
Yeah, I just have to say that, you know, of course they're going to throw up the economic argument. They always do. But then no one's stopping to talk about the cost to public health. And the kind of fallout. And
but they never do that either. That never happens.
What happens when you don't have clean water to drink? We're not going to be able to drink Coke and get by.
Wait, that's really good. I hadn't thought about that.
Coke and beer.
We need more beer. We need more water to make beer.
Well, can't grow corn, so we really can't. There's definitely no sugar to go into that.
Well, you know, in the Middle Ages, when water was unsafe in Europe, people drank beer.
It's true.
So let me just throw that out there, and let people think about that a little bit.
That's where the Enlightenment came
from. Yeah, exactly.
From, okay?
And I wanted to say, when we were talking with Dave Funchen, who's a friend of the show and who's been on this show before, we were talking about and Michael Roper. We were talking about water. We started breaking down those numbers. 3% of the water on the planet is fresh water. 67% of the water that's used in this country is used for agriculture. So if we start impacting that, especially in southern Illinois, where it has limited water resources, what are we doing to our own future?
Okay, so I get that. So let's go back to Michael Madigan and the shenanigans he pulled this week.
He sold us out for a 3-6% excise tax from the fracking companies.
But he didn't sell you out because he never had the moratorium. He was never going to be for the moratorium in the first place.
Obviously now that seems the way it is. We had put a lot of pressure on Michael Madigan and thought that pressure had borne some
fruit. This is why he's the emperor of Illinois, and this is why not good for democracy, basically.
Exactly. But people can call and tell him that at 217-546-7404 and tell him, demand that he support House Bill 3086 and Senate Bill 1418. But we need to stop the frack attack in Illinois, and we need to do it now.
Okay, now here's what you're going to hear from some environmentalists, because environmentalists and environmental groups have been working very hard on the competing bill. It's not even a competing bill. It's a different bill.
Yes,
okay, there's two bills there. And the environmentalists will say, you first of all, they would prefer a moratorium. Mm-hmm. If they had their way, absolutely. That would be, but they're trying to be realists about this and say, we know the way that politics works. We know the way that business works. We know the pressure on our state legislators. And we know that something's probably going to be passed that is a fracking bill, and that fracking will proceed. So we better make it the best bill we can. And, you know, and that's practical politics.
Sure.
All right. So the bill they've come up with, which is 2615, which is the regulatory bill. So you've got two bills there in Springfield. One is for a moratorium, and that is the other bill, 1418. And what was the one you mentioned?
Senate bill, I'm sorry, House bill
3086.
Yeah, and Senate bill 1418. Mm-hmm. Then there's House bill 2615, mm-hmm. and that is the regulatory bill. And the idea of the regulatory bill is, let's make Illinois the model for fracking legislation in the country.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The problem with that, obviously, is what does that mean? You know, if you're one inch better than Pennsylvania, how far have you gone? Now, what the environmental groups have been telling me is that they're happy that one of the key provisions is that anybody has the right to sue a fracking company in this bill. And you got to admit, that's a great step forward. And there are other safeguards about, you know, how to protect the water containing the water that's mm-hmm. being used and the chemicals that are being used. But we all know leaks happen. You know, there are laws for landfills and they leak anyway.
And I don't believe there's anything in those bills that prescribes, because this is federal, that these companies have to reveal the cocktail of chemicals that they use in fracking.
Well,
that
there's
is
some,
still proprietary.
Yeah, there's some, there, you know, and that's the point. If it's me, I'm saying I want to know every single chemical that goes in there. And, you know, they're going to say, well, except for we get this little, because if we give away our proprietary chemicals, then everybody will copy what we're doing and make a gazillion dollars like we do.
I mean, we do know a lot of those chemicals are, and we do know that a lot of them are cancer causing chemicals. We just don't know the mix. And we don't know. And when this water, this wastewater is created, it has to sit in these pools basically for eternity. There, how do we clean that up?
Yeah. All right. So the point is, I want to discuss this next week in more detail. I wanted to get this out to let people know that they should contact their legislator in Springfield and tell them that they want a moratorium.
217-782-2000.
Give me that number again.
217-782-2000.
217-782-2000.
I make a lot of calls and I bug a lot of politicians.
And what is that number?
That's the General Assembly. Yeah, that's okay. The General Assembly.
If you don't know your legislator, and you know, the problem is a lot of people don't know their legislator. I'll tell you what, let's find that link.
Yeah, I'll have that up on Facebook in a second. We do have the Madigan number, the House bill, and the Senate bill numbers on Facebook, as well as the general number for the General Assembly, but I will also post on how to research who your person is. It's very simple. You put your address into the Simple Illinois link, and it will tell you exactly who they are, their local phone number, and their Springfield phone number.
So my feeling is, if the environmental groups, as they have been telling me, really favor the moratorium, then let's push it. Let's just say the hell with the other bill. Let's just get the moratorium, and then we won't have to worry about whether these fracking companies are sneaking around the regulations in the regulatory bill. Let's just get the moratorium and do the research and put it off and see what we find in 2 years.
Yep.
And then come up with the toughest bill in the world for fracking in Illinois. I mean, wouldn't that be something for Illinois to be a leader in industrial regulation? Yikes.
Yeah, one process slows this whole mess down. The other process just opens the door, and then we're left with the cleanup afterwards.
I would like to take a call, but I can't because, Denny, thank you very much. I knew this would happen, and I appreciate you folks calling in at 773-763-9278, but I have to get to Wes because he's in studio and he came up from Springfield. WC, thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk later. And Wes King, thank you for being here. I know you were up to do with the Good Food Festival yesterday with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance. We've got a lot to talk about. In fact, let me take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the farm bill. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the farm bill? That was supposed to happen last year and has not happened. And is it going to even happen in 2013? I don't know. You're shrugging there.
We don't know. There's a big cloud hanging over all of it.
It's unbelievable that our Congress is unable to govern our country. It just blows me away. It knocks me over. I look at the Congress, especially the House of Representatives, unable to pass. Look at the fewest laws. Didn't they have the fewest laws passed in history in the last session?
Yeah.
I believe they did. Thanks to the leadership of John Boehner. Nice going, dude.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Wow. You're awesome. I love when Rachel Maddow says he's not good at his job. Because he can't get laws passed.
He's not good at his job.
And, you know, and I know that part of this is a strategy to not pass laws to make President Obama look bad. And part of it is just blatant incompetence. It's just ridiculous. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, but I know that you're looking for a liquid solution to make your plants healthier. So try Dr. Earth's liquid solution fertilizer. It's formulated to work fast any time of year, regardless of temperature, and provides primary essential plant nutrients, including micronutrients and multi-minerals. Use it on all vegetables, indoor gardens, flowers, bedding plants, potted plants, trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and lawns. You can use it on everything. It's easy to use. Just mix with water and apply to the soil or foliage. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth's liquid solution. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you and to be sure to like them on Facebook for organic updates.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Better gardening begins when you have the gardener's edge. Since 1885, A.M. Leonard has delivered high-quality tools for gardeners, growers, and landscapers. A.M. Leonard's Gardener's Edge has a huge selection of gardening tools, and right now, listeners to my show can save 30% on their popular soil knife, which has 58 out of 61 five-star reviews. Linda writes, a must-have tool for every garden. I use it constantly, digging weeds, planting, sowing seeds, and cutting string for tying up plants. Garden Girl says, I have tough clay soil, and having gone through multiple trowels each season for several years, I decided it was time to look for something sturdy. This is it. I no longer even take my trowel to the garden. And right now, save 30% on the incredible soil knife from Gardener's Edge. Call 888-556-5676 during weekday business hours. 888-556-5676. And don't forget to mention me, Mike Novak, or go to GardenersEdge.com/Chicago. That's GardenersEdge.com/Chicago.
And I want you to know that today's the last day you can take advantage of that Gardener's Edge promotion to get the soil knife. And we've been handing out coupons at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. And a lot. I'm amazed at how many people come to the booth and they say, wow, that's a cool tool. Or they say, I have that tool. I love that tool. And so if you want to take advantage of it, go to GardenersEdge.com/Chicago. You can't call today because you have to do that during business hours, and today's the last day you can take advantage of it. Go to GardenersEdge.com/Chicago. Mention Chicago Mike. You'll get 30% off of that soil knife. Now, here's a question from the Care of Trees. Why hire a tree care company at all? While trees growing in the forest and other natural areas can basically take care of themselves, those growing in cities and suburbs need help staying healthy and beautiful. They contend with air pollution, road salt, confined roots, trunk damage, compacted or poor quality soils, improper pruning, and other stresses. Well, your trees and shrubs may benefit from pruning, mulching, irrigating, soil management, or other TLC to thrive. When you work with the Care of Trees, you benefit from having trained, educated, and certified professional caring for your trees. Our staff includes registered consulting arborists, and certified tree workers trained in the progressive technologies and techniques and ensuring safe work practices. Invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm very pleased to have in the studio Wes King, who is the interim executive director for the Illinois Stewardship Alliance. And welcome again, Wes. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We mentioned the farm bill that wasn't in 2012 and that might be coming up. But you and I met again recently because we've been talking also about composting issues in the state of Illinois. And it's an exciting time for that, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. We've been working on some legislation down in Springfield to make it a little easier for both urban agriculture and rural farms to compost on their farms to get the high-quality nutrients that they need to grow fresh fruits and vegetables or, you know, whatever they want.
You know, it's amazing that right now in Illinois, if you have some straw on your farm that you want to take over a neighboring farm and let them compost, that's illegal.
Essentially, yeah.
It's crazy, you know. Essentially. I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time, but that's kind of the way where we are with composting laws.
Yeah, and it's really been a big problem for urban agriculture projects where you basically have here in the city where most of the soil is contaminated with heavy metals or petroleum products. You can't grow in the soil, so you have to create soil or bring it from offsite somehow.
Yeah. But that's for another day as we get to that. Right now, you were with me on my show on the phone way back in June mm-hmm. of last year, I remember because I was broadcasting the Pride Parade and looking out over Halsted from the center on Halsted, and we talked about the Farm Bill, and it was just about to go. I think I don't know if it had just passed the Senate or was about to go to the Senate. It was one or the other, the U.S. Senate.
I think it had just passed the Senate.
I think it had too, yeah. And we were saying, okay, now it needs to go to the House, and we'll get ourselves a 2012 Farm Bill because the last one, you know, you're supposed to do it every 5 years. And although the last one was 2008, so that's only four, but who's counting? It didn't happen.
It did not happen.
And we talked about this earlier about the, yeah, Mr. Boehner, who can't seem to get anything done.
Exactly. It fell apart in the House. It was a little bit of Mr. Boehner doesn't like, he really didn't like the dairy program that was in the Farm Bill, but then really it all fell apart around SNAP, food stamp funding. The Republican House.
God forbid we should let the American population eat and be healthy.
What made it so crazy, it was not that it wasn't passable. It was that Boehner would have had to include Democrat votes along with Republican votes. He couldn't pass a farm bill with just Republicans.
But you know what? He's already set the precedent. He's had, what, three bills now passed when the Democrats get on board with him? You know, the Hastert rule is done. It's broken. It's you know, let's move on. And why don't we act like a Congress instead of Republicans and Democrats?
You know, that's a million-dollar question there.
I know. This is what – and now I sound like Barack Obama. So, you know, and a lot of people think he's crazy for pursuing this strategy. But good God, man. Let's – you know, this is important stuff. How important is the Farm Bill?
It is one of the most important pieces of legislation and policy in terms of structuring our whole food and farm system. It really isn't a Farm Bill. It's a food bill.
Right.
If you eat, the Farm Bill affects you. So – I think that's all of us.
Well, some of us. Right. It covers all kinds
of
things.
It covers food stamps. It covers conservation programs for farms. It covers the subsidies we often hear about for farms. It covers farmers markets. It covers fresh fruits and vegetables. It covers crop insurance. You know, the list goes on of things that are covered within the Farm Bill. It really is covering the whole food and farm system.
So where are we then with the Farm Bill? What happened apparently is that we got the 2008
we got an
was
extended,
extended.
Yeah,
but that was a bad bargain, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really bizarre. So the 2008 Farm Bill actually expired in September, mm-hmm. and we were kind of left in this limbo situation where if the Congress didn't act within a couple months, farm policy was going to revert to the 1940s emergency farm policy or the permanent farm policy, which is just crazy to think that, oh, they can't get their act together, so we're going to automatically revert back to old policy. So people were negotiating, trying to figure out, okay, we need to extend the old Farm Bill. The ag community came together and put together a pretty nice extension to the old Farm Bill that was going to take into consideration some of the newer, more innovative things around local food and sustainable agriculture. And then at a last minute, Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell from the Senate cut their own separate deal, inserted into the fiscal cliff package, and suddenly we got a extension to the old Farm Bill that basically left out all the farmers market programs, sustainable agriculture programs, programs for beginning farmers, a bunch of programs for organic research, and then also left in place payments. Direct payments for commodity subsidies, one of these subsidies that is basically given to farmers regardless of whether or not you're planting or what you've planted.
Right, and that's been a big bone of contention that we were going to get rid of that. We were going to provide insurance for farmers, but not just throw cash at them, not to grow stuff.
Well, we're still going to throw cash at them this year thanks to Mitch McConnell and, unfortunately, Vice President Joe Biden.
It's unbelievable. Let me read from the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, because they say that the Farm Bill extension deal reached in negotiations between Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Vice President Joe Biden is a disaster for farmers and the American people. The deal is blatantly anti-reform. The full Senate and House Agriculture Committee earlier this year agreed to permanently eliminate direct payment subsidies, as we just talked about for commodity production, regardless of price and income conditions. Yet the deal would lock in those egregious subsidies for another full year at a $5 billion price tag. On the other hand, many smaller targeted programs to fund farm and food system reform and rural jobs were left out completely. Also left out of the final deal is any workable dairy policy for the next year and any disaster aid for livestock and fruit producers. The deal also has the effect of keeping farmers from being able to improve soil and water conservation through enrollment in the Conservation Stewardship Program at the present time. We are extremely disappointed in the Republican leadership for proposing this deal and in the White House for accepting it. The message is unmistakable. Direct commodity subsidies, despite high market prices, are sacrosanct, while the rest of agriculture and the rest of rural America can simply drop dead.
I think that really sums it up perfectly. You know, it was a disaster. And that reminded me of when
we're in the disaster right now because we're supposed to be negotiating. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I was going to say one of the things that was really interesting about, you know, you talk about disaster, one of the things that happened last year with the farm bill, this just blew my mind. So when the House failed to get together and they weren't going to be able to pass a farm bill, they said, okay, well, we're in the middle of this drought. We need to do something in terms of disaster relief. So they passed a disaster aid package by cutting long-term conservation programs, the very programs that help farms be resilient in the face of drought and disaster. So they cut off funding for the future to pay for short-term disaster assistance. It seems like nobody in D.C., or at least the House Republicans, has any idea what they're doing. It just blew my mind that this was responsible.
It's no different than the standard short-sightedness of let's knee-jerk to every 6 months as opposed to thinking about our future. I mean, that's their whole purpose, is to think long-term, because business typically doesn't. So government can lead in that aspect. But that I feel like my brain hurts.
Yeah, and mine too.
Good morning.
Yeah, really. So what happens now? Are we back in discussions?
Not yet. Everything.
Not yet. It's March.
Yeah, everything in D.C. is pretty much being held up by this triple-headed budget monster. First, you know, we had sequestration. Now we're talking about.
First we had the fiscal cliff.
Yeah, we had the fiscal cliff.
At the beginning of the year, okay. And now we have the sequestration.
Sequestration.
Now we've got. With what result? You know,
we're going to slowly be finding out more and more about what the results are. I can't imagine they're going to be good for agriculture.
Uh-huh.
But then following that, you know, now Congress is looking at how to fund the rest of the year, because last year they only gave us 6 months funding for this year. So now they got to figure out how they're going to fund the rest of this year. And then we've got the debt ceiling again.
You're right. My brain hurts, too.
Yeah. The hope is that once we get past these crises, these, you know, artificial crises that Congress has created, they're going to start talking about the farm bill in May, start normal process again, holding committee hearings, and hopefully pass a bill this summer. But we saw what happened last summer.
You know, it seems so, it's so frustrating. I mean, we were saying, you know, in terms of the moratorium on fracking in Illinois, you get on the horn and you call your legislator, and it's really simple. You say support the moratorium. In terms of the farm bill, it's so complex. I've been reading some of the stuff you sent me and other stuff that I found. I can't even wrap my head around most of what's in that bill because it's so diverse and so complex. How can the average American person deal with it? And what do you do when you call your legislator? Do you say, hey, I want good legislation?
Yeah, it really is difficult. It's complicated. You know, luckily for me, we work a lot with this National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, who does a great job of trying to package some of this into something that you can wrap your head around. But, you know, if you were going to just call and say something, it's you want a fair farm bill that supports local food, sustainable agriculture and conservation.
Yeah.
It's
OK. Those are really good points. Say that one more time.
You want to call your congressman and say you want a fair farm bill that supports local food, sustainable agriculture and conservation.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the talking point right there. And still, that's really, really broad. and you say, stop paying farmers for not growing food. That's, you know, that's an easy one to wrap your head around. I think the average person gets that. Stop paying farmers for not growing food. Now, help them through the hard times when there's disaster. Give them disaster relief. If you know, the insurance, and I don't understand all the ins and outs in the insurance, but that makes a lot more sense than that old way of doing things, which we can't seem to break. It's like we're addicted to paying out this money. Well, actually, you know, Big Ag wants the money, but I guess I don't know.
Yeah. I can't agree with more. You said it perfectly.
All right. Before I let you go, one other thing you mentioned was the food. We were talking the other day. It was the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Yeah. This is huge. A couple years
it's
ago.
It's all huge,
yeah,
Wes.
Yeah.
By the way, that's we're with Wes King, with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, and that's www.ilstewards.org.
Yes, yes. So the Food Safety Modernization Act, massive piece of legislation passed a couple years ago, really overhauling our food safety system for the first time in decades and upon decades. And the point is to create more of a proactive food safety system. But one of the worries through what they've done, and we're at a rules phase right now where they've proposed rules on how to implement the law, is what it's going to mean for small farms. You know, there's a lot of fear of this one-size-fits-all rules that, you know, different operations have different risks and should be treated differently. And there's a lot of fear among the small farm farmers market community that these rules are going to be so burdensome because they're designed for massive industrial facilities that they're going to be driving small farms out of business. So we're kind of there's a slow building movement campaign organizing within the small farm community to get involved in this and say to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, the one who's going to be implementing this law, to say, protect small farms, protect farmers markets.
Yeah, because one of the fears when I was first hearing about this and reading about it, there was a terrible fear that it was going to shut down organic production totally, that they weren't going to be able to adhere to the standards that were set in this law.
Yeah, that's one of the fears. Also, farmers who are really interested in habitat, wildlife habitat on their farms for conservation measures, that the rules aren't going to fit with theirs.
I'm glad you keep hammering at the conservation, and we keep running into that because that's such a key issue here. We're running out of wild spaces in the world, certainly in our country. We need to get some of them back. We need to turn some of that farmland back over to conservation.
And
natural areas, and we need to keep hammering that, how important that is, because if we lose that land, it's really hard to get back.
Yeah, and with the Food Safety Modernization Act, there's real fear that because of the rules, it's going to say, oh, you can't have an area on your farm that's a wildlife habitat because fear that the wildlife is going to come into your farm and contaminate your farm, which is just, to me, ridiculous, because this is something that, as long as we've had farms, as long as we've been eating
wildlife,
there's wildlife.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's an important
part. No. The point is put the fertilizer down and the pesticides, get rid of those stupid animals that keep getting in the way. You know, those birds and bees and stuff. They're just annoying. We can control it. We're humans. Yeah. We can control the whole thing.
That's the beauty of industrial agriculture. We can control every little piece of it. Sterile soil.
Is there an action item here that we want folks to?
Yeah, I think the action item is, you know, one, I would say go to the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition's website. Okay. They've got right on the front. They've got, you know, what does the Food Safety Modernization Act mean for small farms? And this is a place where you can sign up to get updates on this, because one of the things that's going to be really important in the next couple months is for everybody who cares about small farms and local food to submit comments to the FDA to say, hey, protect small farms, protect local food. And this will make a difference, because unlike, well, calls to Congress make a difference, but comments through rulemaking processes, it sounds really, you know, wonky, but actually has huge impacts.
And that information, that link is also at mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. You will find the link to the National Sustainable Agriculture Association. Wes thank you so much for dropping in and for being in town. I know mostly you're down Springfield way, and I'm glad you were up here for the Good Food Festival and you could drop by the studio with this great information. I got a great tweet here, by the way. It says, what? Local food? Sustainable agriculture? That sounds like commie talk. Yeah, you know, we're just socialists at heart here, you know. And I throw that out to all my conservative friends. You know what? I like socialism. There's a lot of really good stuff about socialism and sharing. And, you know, that when I was a kid, I was taught to share, you know. And
community is good.
Yeah. It really is. So deal with it, folks. Yeah. All right. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Did you miss the flower and garden show this year? Well, my response is no, you didn't, because the annual AllSip Home and Nursery Flower and Garden Show is next week, Saturday and Sunday, March 23rd and 24th. It's happening at both stores in Frankfort, Illinois and St. John, Indiana. Meet the industry pros and get the scoop on new products. There are more than 20 educational seminars ranging from landscape design to knockout roses to easy care, summer bulbs to pond care. I'll be there, too, on Saturday, March 23rd at 11 a.m. Go to allsipnursery.com right now. Why? You should join their A-List Preferred Customer Program, because A-List members will receive double A-List points on purchases made next weekend. And don't forget, there are more door prizes this year, vendors, booths, and don't forget those fabulous spring plants. So go to allsipnursery.com to sign up for the A-List and get ready for spring. AllSip Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of Route 80. And they're also located in St. John, Indiana. And that's on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Now, hold on. I was going to let's go with this one. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to the phones, bring in meteorologist Rick DeMille. Rick, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. You have to give me a little more info on that before I press the button for my lifeline, Mike.
Info on what? I'm sorry.
On the music, on the song.
Oh, a little info on the song. This is On the Radio by Regina Spektor.
Oh, okay. Relation to Phil Spector?
I hope not. No, it's not. It's not even spelled the same way. It's Spektor.
Oh, okay. All right. I've never heard that before. It sounds pretty good. Does it have any relationship to obviously St. Patrick's Day or the Irish culture?
You know what? I haven't played any Irish music, have I? I don't even know if I have any here. I figure everybody else is. I'm going to play some Polish. I'll play a polka in the second hour.
There you go. Well, it is 42 degrees currently in Dublin, Ireland. So, and the satellite right now on the Weather Channel shows all green. I'm not sure if they meant to do that.
Usually when a green blob is headed to Chicago, that's not always a great thing. Well, now it would be because it would mean rain.
Yeah, it's obviously rain, but this is a satellite. I've never seen a satellite. But I just noticed on the Weather Channel, I had the climate data for today, and it showed the record high of 74 set back in 2009. And I'm thinking there's something wrong with that.
Why?
Oh, God, don't you remember last year at this time?
I was on the beach. I was on the beach this time last year.
Are we right at that point we were last year with all those 80-degree days?
Yeah, this was the fourth day out of five in a row of temperatures above 80. We actually were in a stretch of nine consecutive days where the temperature actually tied or exceeded the record high for O'Hare. And to this date, Mike, I've never seen a pattern that produced five 80s in the month of March before we actually hit meteorological spring. And obviously we're about as far from that as possible, where temperature is about 10 degrees below normal. I mean, we only had 35 for a high yesterday, and today we'll be lucky to make 35 again today. So it shows you that not only can you have extreme, you know, weather changes in the month of March and also in the month of November. I like to compare those months a lot, but lately it seems the extremes have been more so, but it also seems that winter kind of arrived about a month and a half late, and now we're having the kind of weather now that we typically have in February.
Well, I'm not going to change my tune on this one. I am happy that things are happening slowly.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah,
great.
I like it a lot.
Yeah,
it's perfect stuff. Matter of fact, from January 1st through March the 10th, don't have the data yet through the end of this week, but that has gone down as the second wettest period ever in Chicago. Almost 9 inches of precipitation from a standpoint of liquid, which has been great. We've had just as much rain as we've had snow, and now we're up to 30 inches of snow so far for the season, and we average about 33, and it looks like we may get a little bit more late tonight into tomorrow, but it doesn't look like much is going to accumulate, but we will get some precip out of it, so that's good news. And then there's more head snow heading up into the Northeast. Well, it is interesting, though, is this big area of very, very warm weather developing over Mexico and the Southern Plains and into California, Southern California and Arizona produced a high of 96 early this week in Phoenix. When I was looking at that, I'm like, that's pretty warm even for Phoenix. And sure enough, this was the warmest I've ever seen, or this is the warmest they've ever had a temperature that high ever in the desert of Arizona. Usually you'll get, you know, lower 90s, but you break a record by 5 degrees. That's pretty significant. So It shows you that the warm air is kind of hiding down there. We're not going to have the same type of March, obviously, that we had last year, but definitely, without a doubt, there's some huge air mass differences going on across the lower 48 this week.
Meaning what in general for us in the future?
Well, meaning that right now, as long as we stay on the cold side of things, we'll have temperatures obviously below normal, but it shows you that these contrasting weather patterns have basically remained pretty much steady state. We had this large area of warm air over the southern United States all of last year, all of last winter, into part of this winter, I should say. And it really hasn't gone away. But what has happened is we've had this quote, Greenland block, where the air, instead of becoming what we call zonal, moving across large areas of Canada, has become very, very wavy. And we actually had this pattern early in the year. It was amazing that we didn't get cold. But these blocking patterns is usually what's responsible for either these early season warm-ups or these late season cool-downs. You know, you end up getting highly variable weather. That's exactly what we have going on over us right now. So very, very cold air across eastern sections of Canada. And that's one of the reasons why we've been generally about 5 to 10 degrees below average. And the pattern looks like it's going to stay this way, Mike, for at least the next 2 weeks, which is good because the farmers love this kind of stuff. Great for the soil, great for the infiltration. Hasn't been any, you know, massive rain or flooding or anything like that. And this has been exactly what we needed compared to last year, because drought is always what we refer to as a cumulative weather phenomenon. It usually takes a couple of years to get into one, and it usually takes a couple of years to get out of one. If this would have been the third year of a major dry spell and a major drought in the Midwest, we would have been in deep trouble. And it looks like we're actually kind of coming out of that one, at least in the Midwest, still not in the Western High Plains, but at least in the Midwest, we can say that I think we're definitely coming out of what has been a 2-year subnormal precipitation pattern.
You know, I was wondering, and it probably didn't affect it too much, but the fact that we had at least a little bit of ice on Lake Michigan, doesn't that reflect the sun's rays and lessen the evaporation rate?
Yeah, it does. I don't think it's been enough. I think the ice that we had along the lake was mainly along the shoreline. But otherwise, if you look at the amount of ice that we had on the Great Lakes this year and also up across the Arctic Ocean, it's still been at historic lows. So while you have some, you know, from a visible standpoint, you can say, look at all that ice. If you really take a big snapshot of the Great Lakes, we're well below average. So the evaporation rates have still been extremely high. One of the reasons why the Great Lakes to this date still have not really recovered much. We're still down about 15 inches from where we were last year. And I think a lot of people, once they get back into the lakes from a standpoint of recreational activities coming up in another 2 months, they'll go, what happened to the beach? It's now out there.
Yeah.
Which is something that we've never seen before. So maintaining this pattern, maintaining this precipitation will help out. But getting the lakes back to where they were is going to take at least another year to year and a half. But at least from a soil moisture standpoint, this has been nothing but beneficial for us for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And it looks like it's going to continue for the next at least 2 to 3 weeks as well.
I assume that to get back to normal, we have to have above average precipitation. Are we at least having average precipitation right now?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And the great thing about it is it's coming in small doses. So even though we had some flooding last week, but, you know, one thing I always try to point out to people, when on-air weather people show flood advisories for certain counties, when you look at those, you know, the county maps from the National Weather Service and they show, you know, that the area is under a flood advisory, those are usually the forest preserves and some of the small rivers and things like that. Usually neighborhoods have to worry we're under what's called a flood warning, but definitely precipitation has been near normal. Looks like it's going to stay that way at least for another 10 to 15 days at least.
All right. So in 30 seconds, forecast
sure.
for the week.
A lot of green coming up out. It's cloudy today, maybe a little bit of sun to the north of us. Those of you listening up around Lake McHenry County probably got a sliver of that this morning. But otherwise, rain arrives late tonight into tomorrow. Looks like a little bit of wet snow. Mid-30s today, upper 30s tomorrow, and then get this, Mike, back into the lower 30s for Tuesday and Wednesday with temperatures remaining about 10 to 15 degrees below normal. Nothing in the way of any warm weather coming back at us anytime soon.
I can live with it.
We can too, Mike. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, Mike.
Rick DeMaio, weather, always I'm happy to have him, the greatest meteorologist in the city of Chicago. We're going to talk about protecting the urban forests in our neck of the woods. So I hope you stick around for that.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Allsup Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Now, this is an honor, Rick DeMaio bringing up St. Patrick's Day, which I'll be honest with you, I completely forgot was even happening. But that's the Water Boys, but that wasn't the song I wanted to play. I thought the one I wanted to play.
It was good, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I thought, let's see.
I was feeling all St. Patrick-y.
There we go. Here's one.
Oh, nice.
Sounds very Irish. Still wasn't the song that I want. I was looking at number 11 and it wasn't the right one. That sounds very Irishy. And hold on, one more. I'm going to pull this disc out.
I like it.
It told me that number 11 was the one I wanted. Yeah, that was supposed to be.
What's the title?
The Raggle Taggle Gypsy, which okay. I like. It's all that I. She's all. No, see, you know what? This is. The songs on here that are listed on the CD are not matching what's playing.
Mm.
that's the way my life runs.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's go to the last one. Let's try that one.
Oh, now that's big time.
There we go.
Now I'm dancing.
Oh, wow, a clover.
Hogging under my desk.
Okay, that's it.
That was good.
There's my tribute to St. Patrick's Day. See, who says I'm not ecumenical?
Rob's wearing green.
Mike's green every day, though.
That's true. I don't need St. Patrick's Day to be green. Okay. So that's why. I've been getting some emails about our discussion at the top of the show about the fracking moratorium. And Jill Paulus wrote to me to say that, she had talked to some folks with the I guess she talked to Jack Darren at the Illinois Sierra Club, and they're supporting the fracking moratorium, And I understand their point of view, which is if we don't get the fracking moratorium, well, gosh darn it, we better have some good regulations behind it. But
and that's where I'm at personally.
I want
the moratorium. I'm pushed for the moratorium, and if all we get is the legislation, if it's the toughest legislation in the country, my hope is that it's tough enough that they say, there's lower hanging fruit in other states. We'll go someplace else. So maybe we'll get the effect.
I don't want any of the states to have this.
I want
this,
no one.
Okay?
Exactly.
You and I talked to the people on the Washington Mall.
Who had
the National Mall. I keep saying the Washington
there.
Mall, National Mall, the Washington Monument. But who came from Pennsylvania? Who came from New York?
The gal from Michigan who had an oil spill in her 600 feet.
And that's a different issue altogether.
Right. But they're also interconnected. Oil and gas and
but so the point
spills
is,
and it's bad.
217-782-2000. Call 217-782-2000. Get the name of your state legislator, Senate and House, if you don't know, General Assembly. You should know. If you don't know, shame on you. Now I'm being mean
here's,
to people who I
suggestion.
Want on my side, but
here's my suggestion.
You should know this.
There's so many issues that we need people active on right now. Save it in your cell phone. Get this information now. Save it in your cell phone. You've got it every time somebody tells you that this
is
something
idea.
To do.
So, all right. So
put them in your cell phone.
Get your cell phones out, kids. Right now, 217. Put this in here. 217-782-2000. Put it in your cell phone.
And you have it forever. Every time you get mad, you just pick up the phone.
Denny, are you putting it in your cell phone there?
Every time you get mad, your knee-jerk reaction is call your legislator.
That's right. Just get mad. Go.
It's my therapy.
Hey, what are you doing down there? That's the thing I don't get is who are they representing? And I'm thinking about this in terms of Washington, D.C. with the gun thing, that 91% of Americans want a back check on guns. 91%.
Yes.
So if they're fighting to pass it in D.C., I want to say, who are you representing?
Yeah.
Who are you? Well, who do you think you are? Yeah. There you go.
It's all about the money.
Yeah. I know who you're representing. You're representing the NRA. Oh, I get it. I'm so stupid. I thought you were representing me. Oh, wow. Is that how it works? Oh, I'm sorry. That's just dumb. Denny, let's get. We'll get him. And get Sean in a second here. I'm happy to have in the studio. Oh, by the way, did you get that in your cell phone? 217-782-2000 now. Call there, get the name of your state rep, and say moratorium on fracking in Illinois right now. Make it happen. Otherwise, you're not going back to Springfield. We're not going to put you back there. And I'm happy to have in the studio Chris Mest, who is with Tree Care Advisor. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about this for how many years now?
A couple.
At least.
Yeah.
Because every time I see Chris all the time at horticultural events.
Mm-hmm.
Like conferences, and he'll be in a booth or attending, and And he'll say, we got to protect our trees.
Well,
yes, we do. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the first time we met actually was at Gethsemane Garden Center. You were giving a talk there.
I believe so, yeah.
And I was talking a little bit about mycorrhiza products, and that's when we initially met. That might have been 10 years ago.
It might have been. It was a while ago. Yeah, and, yikes.
And then we've kind of exchanged emails here a little bit on these issues with trees, and So here we are.
Yeah, yes. Finally it broke down.
Yeah. You've been threatening to have me on a couple times.
You know what? There are people listening right now who know that drill. I have threatened to have a lot of people on. You know, you get around to it when you get around
there's
to it.
And so much time, and there's a lot of issues out there.
Yes. You know, there are too many issues.
Yes.
I'm going to interject something that's completely off topic for a second because I was just looking at my Facebook page. We need some more likes, folks, okay? You know, not just when I give away stuff, but...
Right, but we are up 5 from end of the year last Saturday or Sunday. We were at 810, so we got 5 somewhere along the week.
Yeah, I was watching. I get one, I lose one, I get one, I lose one. It's like, what are you people unliking me for? You're unliking me because I support a fracking moratorium?
I doubt that it's that. I think it's people just cleaning up their page saying, I like too many things.
You got a fan out there somewhere, Chris. I got a tweet that says, go Chris.
Thank you.
You got your peeps out there listening?
I hope so. I've been telling them about it. And hopefully people are interested in the issue about losing our urban tree canopy.
You sent me an article the other day, actually scientific study, about how we're losing our tree canopy
right
in the United States.
Yeah. From 2005, 2009, this study... looked at 20 municipalities throughout the United States, and 17 out of the 20 had actually lost urban canopy, and Chicago's one of them. So I wanted to look into this further. I know that in 2009, there was this thing called the Chicago Tree Initiative that got together a bunch of groups, and the idea was to increase the urban tree cover from 17% to 20% by 2020.
Right.
Okay, and I actually attended the panel discussion that had these different groups represented, the city, the forestry department, I believe the Morton Arboretum were all involved. Then what happened is we had a change in administration in this Chicago.
Golly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the new administration, well, first, the one of the first acts out of the gate was to disband the Department of the Environment.
Right.
And I know that there are people who think that I should get over that, but I haven't gotten over that. And the reason I haven't gotten over that is because I think that it sent a clear signal of where the current administration stands on certain issues. And I have talked to other people in the city and certainly in organizations and people who care about environmental issues who were just as disappointed and continue to be just as disappointed.
Yeah, well, how I found that out is I contacted the forestry department, and one of the chief or the senior foresters responded because I had gone to the Chicago Tree Initiative website in December of 2011 and got no response. So in February of 2012, I contacted directly the forestry department and was told that this Chicago Tree Initiative was turned over to the Department of Environment, and then the Department of Environment was disbanded. And I was also told, which is also very disturbing, that there was no tree planting budget for the city of Chicago for 2011 and 2012.
What?
Yeah. And I have to...
Wait, whoa. I mean, didn't we just spend 20 years planting hundreds of thousands of trees in Chicago?
I don't know if it was recently.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe they ran out of money, but, you know, Richie Daley apparently, you know, planted lots and lots of trees in Chicago. And who is it that told you there was no budget for this?
Well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
No. You don't have to name names, but
it was a senior forester from the city of Chicago.
Okay.
And I have a copy of the email that I was sent. And so I'm not just, you know, taking this out of the blue. And
you know, planting trees is very important when it comes to maintaining your urban forest. But the other thing, and this is something I want to get out to people, is maintaining and protecting your mature trees. Okay, we've got a lot of trees dying, you know, from emerald ash borer and from other things. But it really doesn't matter how many trees you plant if you don't keep your mature trees alive as far as urban canopy. Okay, when people plant trees, they think of DBH. In fact, there are
DBH?
Diameter of breast height. I'm sorry. That's
wow.
How
wow. Even I don't know that one. I mean, you got really into the arcane in the arborist industry, so you got to watch yourself there, pal.
I'll watch myself with my language.
Say that again. DBH stands for?
DBH stands for diameter at breast height. When you're measuring the size of a tree, you do it at breast height, which is going to be different from everybody. So a standard is 4.5 feet from the ground. Okay, and the diameter. And the reason I bring this up is there are some, and I do a lot of work in the suburbs, so that's what I'm going to reference a lot of, but the problem is the same in the suburbs. There's a lot of suburbs that if they allow you to take down, say, a 20-inch tree, they at least require you to plant 20 inches worth of tree. Okay, so, you know, you normally can get a 2-inch size tree in a nursery. You're not going to get, you know, big trees.
And there's a theory on that, and that you don't want to plant larger trees anyway because it takes them long. You know, you get a small caliper tree, it's going to recover faster than a larger one because you're destroying so much of the root system in a larger tree.
Well, when you plant any tree, yeah, a lot of the root system is left behind in the nursery.
Yeah.
But as far as it, you know, that's another issue that needs to be explored. We are planting more small trees all the time, and in the long run, it's better to plant the big trees. They do more in the long run as far as the benefits that they give.
But wait, are you saying better to plant a big tree or that big trees, once they get to big trees, they're more beneficial?
Well, but once they get to the size, they're more beneficial, but you have to plant them.
What I'm saying is I've seen studies that show that if a small tree will catch up to a larger caliper that you plant simply because its root mass is there's less root mass disturbed and that it will grow faster.
Well, trees grow at their own rate. At first, any tree will grow fast when it's first planted, and you don't want to have trees grow faster than they're supposed to by nature because it really does not help the health of the tree. And people, you know, your basic homeowner wants a tree to grow fast and so they can have instant shade.
Yeah.
But from the health standpoint of the tree, it's better to get the roots established.
Yeah.
And then once you get roots established, that tree will start growing. But I understand this idea of we want instant forests, we want instant trees. But from the tree standpoint, it's better for the benefits, things like shade, carbon sequestering, stormwater mitigation, those type of things. Larger trees do more of that because they have a bigger canopy. And getting back to this idea of planting 10 2-inch trees to replace that 20-inch tree, it doesn't happen. You're not replacing
anywhere or?
No, I'm not saying that people don't plant those 10 trees.
Oh. But it doesn't have the same value.
It does. You're right. It does not replace the canopy of that 20-inch tree. One of the guys that did the study that we are referencing, Dave Novak,
it's N-O-W-A-K, and he's not related. Now, he probably pronounces it Nowak. Who knows?
I actually emailed him, and I said, Dave, or Dr. Novak, whatever I called him.
You may call me Dr. Novak if you want.
I said, you know, I talk to, you know, homeowners, and how do I get this idea across to them that even when they plant those 10 trees, they're not replacing that 20-inch tree? Because I don't want them to take down the 20-inch tree unless it's dead, dying, or hazardous.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked something out, and they figured that those 10 2-inch trees only replace 10% of the canopy of a 20-inch tree. In other words, to replace
the it makes total sense. Yeah, it does to me.
To replace that 20-inch tree, you actually have to plant 100 2-inch trees.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the other thing to think about is, first of all, even if you only plant 10 trees, are they all going to survive to be 20-inch trees?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you do everything right, it's very hard for a tree to survive, especially in an urban suburban setting.
It's terrible. Urban trees have a really, really hard life. Depending on the studies you look at, the average lifespan is like 7 to 10 years or mm-hmm. something like that.
Is it because of pollution levels?
Well, there are a lot of them are in tree pits.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. This is a really good point to bring in Sean Kingzett from Davey Tree Expert Company. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are y'all?
Morning.
We're good. And Sean is, and you should know, Davey Tree Expert Company owns The Care of Trees, which is a great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. And Sean, you used to work for The Care of Trees, and now you work for Davey. You kind of slid over from one room to another, right?
Yep, I certainly did. Trying to lower my carbon imprint. I was traveling long distances to get to the city, so.
But the point is, you have worked a lot in the city of Chicago. You worked out of the city office for a while.
Yeah, no, all the things that Chris was referencing, was experiencing those firsthand with the Chicago Tree Initiative and the plan to increase the canopy cover, which were all good things. It was a great collection of different agencies, commercial organizations, not-profits, all trying to get on the same page for the same goal.
And it's interesting because I think I've got the link on my site. You can still go to the Chicago Tree Initiative. I think, I put it up there. You can go to the site, but there's no such thing as the Chicago Tree Initiative anymore.
And I actually want to plug something. I think that a lot of that energy, I mean, it's unfortunate what's going on in Chicago specifically. I think things have a ebb and a flow. I think that'll come back around again. But Suzanne Malik ended up at the Arboretum, who was part of the Department of Environment and was a key person involved with the Chicago Tree Initiative. She's basically doing the same thing with the Morton Arboretum. It's called the Regional Tree Initiative. So instead of just Chicago itself, it's actually the seven counties around Chicago, mm-hmm. all trying to get that same emphasis, all the arrows pointing in the same direction to try to improve canopy cover, improve diversity. And it's addressing both the urban canopy but also natural areas and trying to get better connection between both. It's really interesting. It's going to be neat to see where this goes. But the parties that are involved are, Open Lands and Chicago Wilderness and Arboretum and Botanic Garden and Davey Resource Group and other all the major players combined with some municipalities, they're all trying to get this issue addressed.
Well, that's great that it's shifted to the Morton Arboretum, and I hope that those goals are accomplished. I want to get back to why I brought you in and talk about the difficulty of a tree surviving in an urban setting. You've experienced that firsthand.
Yeah, I think that, it's one thing, like Chris is saying, it's one thing to plant trees, but in an urban setting, choosing the right trees, planting them the best way, giving them good maintenance, because of that exponential benefit the trees provide as they get bigger, that diameter, a 30-inch tree by volume is much, much larger than a 10-inch tree. It's not just three times bigger, it's 100-fold bigger because of that volume issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get those trees to live and survive and do well at those larger sizes, then you're going to be in much better shape. And lots of folks just don't understand the need for maintenance of trees, helping them in an urban setting to get to those larger sizes, be safe while they're larger or less risk of breaking, but be healthy and live to those bigger ages. They do need more care than, tree growing out in the woods. And most people think, well, no one's caring for the trees in the woods. Why would I need to care for the tree in my backyard? But you do need to because of those urban issues.
Well, and the thing about the trees out in the woods, go out there and look at the individual trees sometimes. They're not all perfect specimens. When you plant a tree on your parkway or in your landscape, you want a perfect specimen. You want something that's healthy and it's going to continue to grow. So it does take extra care. This idea that I just plant something in my yard and let nature take its course, well, chances are it's going to die. For one thing,
and even mature trees, people have this, they have odd conceptions of what trees are. I think sometimes they think they're art pieces or something because they feel like, well, you know, if I put a nail in it or do something to it, or I can abuse my tree, but it's big. It's not going to suffer any damage. But what they don't realize is that the nutrients in a tree are right behind the bark, and you know, and the flow goes up and down, and the growth happens not in the center of the tree where the hardwood is, but on the outside, right behind the bark, and you can easily damage a tree.
Yeah, one of the common things I see is people, when they put up a rope swing or a hammock in a tree, they actually will take and wrap something around the limb, which is the worst thing you can do, because as that limb or the trunk grows, that rope will, or wire, whatever it is, will cut into the tree. And when I tell them the best way to do that, they think I'm crazy, because the best way to attach something to the tree is actually to put an eye hook in it and then to attach the wire or the rope to the eye hook. When we do cabling in trees, that's how we attach the cables. Cabling is a support system when you have a tree that might you want to split or has, you know, problems, you know. That is a common mistake people make. When it comes to tree maintenance, I do want to say something about the Chicago Tree Initiative. I think it was flawed from the beginning, because at the panel talk that they were having in 2009, I asked them point blank, okay, so you're going to plant all these trees. What about maintenance? Unfortunately, their idea of maintenance was the same as most homeowners, and it just was pruning. And you have to do what we call plant health care to keep these trees alive. Another thing people don't consider, say you have a 30-inch tree, and that tree, depending on what species, might be 50 years old. Okay, so that tree dies, and you plant another tree, and they think, oh, well, I've replaced the tree. The thing that none of us can replace is time. You cannot replace that 50 years that it took to grow that tree that you had.
I'm going to disagree a little bit there, because that's all the more reason to be, rather than this feast or famine, plant, you know, a whole bunch of trees all at once. Is if you think of a healthy woods, there is a diverse community of different species, different ages. We can try to mimic that in the urban environment as well. You know, we should be, because then if you think of over time, if a tree can live, let's say, 60, 70 years, if you're planting some of different species all the time, then you're always going to, and you can get them to live to that maximum mature age, you're going to have a naturally progressing, aging community of trees. Versus, you know, if you have all your ash or all your elms wipe out, now all of a sudden you lose 300 trees, you're planting 300 trees. Versus if you're losing a few, planting a few, losing a few, planting a few, you just have this natural progression, this sort of semi-natural urban wood, so to speak. You know, I agree that the young tree doesn't replace the old tree, but over time, somebody planted those trees 30, 40, 50 years ago, and now we do have that canopy. We need to keep doing that to maintain and have that canopy developing.
No, I agree with you, and that's not really what I'm saying. We do need, and I always tell homeowners this, you do need to have trees of different age on your property so that when they do die, you don't have them all die at once. What I'm saying is that when we consider removing a tree, unless it's disease, dying, or hazardous, don't just, you know, and if it's a 50-year-old tree or, you know, a 100-year-old oak tree or like the oak trees that you and I work with in McHenry County, you're not going to be able to replace those. So I think just more thought needs to be taken into. And I think that people are allowed to remove trees too easily in a lot of suburbs.
One of the biggest, I think you could try to regulate. You can try to do it by rules or so on and so forth. But what really is better is to get people to see that value of trees, to help community leaders, to help decision makers realize that, hey, these things have resources. They're not liabilities. These are benefits to our communities. They improve our communities. They improve property values. You have to connect to people at different levels depending on, you know, what they care about. You know, and if it's money, then you get them to see the economical benefits, you know, that the longer that investment, you know, if you plant a new tree for X number of dollars, put a little bit of maintenance in it, get it 70 years, well, you don't have to replace that tree after 30 years. So you don't have to spend that money twice. You're just spending it once to get that maximum benefit. You know, if it's different ways to connect, if it's emotional, if it's safety, if it's beauty, you know, meet people with what matters to them and help encourage them that this tree preservation thing is a big deal and will make their lives better in a lot of different ways.
That's Sean Kingzett from the Davey Tree Expert Company. They're the parent company of The Care of Trees, a fine sponsor on my show. Chris Mest is in studio. He's with treecareadvisor.com. Gentlemen, I need to take a short break. Hang on if anybody wants to jump in. Oh, I want to mention one thing. That I got an email from Rick Stabile, and I think I'm pretty close to pronouncing that name correctly, finally. We were talking about the trees losing their roots out of the nursery. He says tree vitality also depends on how it's grown at the nursery. Trees grown in bags like they do Possibility Place lose zero roots when they're transplanted into your yard. The root balls are denser and more fibrous because the technique air prunes the roots and prevents common root problems like circling, etc. And yeah, Possibility Places. I know, Sean, that you go down there and shop for trees occasionally, don't you?
I do. And I agree with what you were saying earlier about the younger trees recovering faster from transplant shock and ending up really outgrowing larger diameter trees at transplant. It's a great place. They're using natives, which have a better chance of surviving in our environment most of the time. And, yeah, it's definitely a great source for plants. Plus, they're smaller, easier to work with. So the average human being can move them around and versus having to use heavy equipment.
The average human being. Define average.
good point. Well, you can go down there with your, you know, SUV or your minivan and put it in your back. So.
Yeah.
Versus having to use a pickup truck or a large piece of equipment.
So. All right. Hang on a second, Sean, and you too, Chris. Now, strap yourselves in. We're leaving climatological spring and heading into the real thing this week. And the best way to prepare yourself for the growing season, which may or may not arrive this year, is to get your hands on a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. If you think your garden makes you cry, wait until you produce a bumper crop of onions. There's a story about the various type of onions and how to grow them, including tips on how to interpret the phrase long day onions. You've heard of that. And short day onions. They explain that. How to water, weed, and fertilize your bulbs and what bolting is and why you should care. Then an article about something that makes most gardeners sob, trying to figure out what to do with dum-dum, dry shade. Believe it or not, there are plants that not only survive, but thrive in dry shade. You know, things like Epimedium, which is called barren wart, but nobody really calls it that, so I'm not sure why anybody still uses that name. And Lenten Rose, which is a hellebore. Can you say that on the radio? And has one cousin called a Christmas rose and another called a stinking hellebore. Boy, bet you can't wait to get your hands on one of those. Then there's my column on the inside back page. It stinks and it makes you weep. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the Greenest Magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Better gardening begins when you have the gardener's edge. Since 1885, A.M. Leonard has delivered high-quality tools for gardeners, growers, and landscapers. A.M. Leonard's Gardener's Edge has a huge selection of gardening tools, and right now, listeners to my show can save 30% on their popular soil knife, which has 58 out of 61 five-star reviews. Linda writes, a must-have tool for every garden. I use it constantly, digging weeds, planting, sowing seeds, and cutting string for tying up plants. Garden Girl says, I have tough clay soil, and having gone through multiple trowels each season for several years, I decided it was time to look for something sturdy. This is it. I no longer even take my trowel to the garden. And right now, save 30% on the incredible soil knife from Gardener's Edge. Call 888-556-5676 during weekday business hours. 888-556-5676. And don't forget to mention me, Mike Novak, or go to gardenersedge.com/Chicago. That's gardenersedge.com/Chicago.
And let me remind you that you really can't call because today's the last day for that deal. And so you got to go to Gardener's Edge. And I've got it right here, gardenersedge.com/Chicago. Mention Mike Novak, mention Chicago Mike, mention the Mike Novak Show, whatever. And you will get 30% off on that wonderful soil knife. Now, did I tell you about what you should be doing next Saturday and Sunday? I'm going to run your life here for you. Here's what you should be doing, especially if you want to get ready for spring. Head over to the annual Alsip Home and Nursery Flower and Garden Show. It will be going on at both stores in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana. Great educational seminars like a lawn care seminar that challenges conventional lawn care thinking. Jonathan Green's New American Lawn Process. In addition, Alsip's landscape design staff will wow you with a 3D landscape design demonstration by their newest landscape design team member. There are more vendors and booths and more prizes this year, and of course, wonderful spring plants and me. I will be speaking on Saturday, March 23rd at 11 a.m. at the Frankfort store, so come by and harass me. Throw tomatoes at the Alsip Home and don't throw tomatoes at the Alsip Home and Nursery Flower and Garden Show. Fun for the whole family. Go to AlsipNursery.com for more information. In fact, Richard Christakis, a CEO from Alsip, will be with us in just a little bit. So hang on and he'll tell you more about this. And of course, his great, I'm going to talk to him about the plastic pot deal they have where you can bring in any plastic pot that you bought anywhere and get 5% off any purchase. Go to AlsipNursery.com. Because we're on the north side now. It used to be on the south side. Now we're on the north side. Chris brought up a really good point, was that if people were throwing tomatoes at me at this time of year, they wouldn't be locally grown. So that's a good reason not to do that. Okay? It's a Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking to Chris Mest from TreeCareAdvisor.com and Sean Kingzett from Davy Tree Expert Company. As I mentioned, they are the parent company of the Care of Trees, which is a great sponsor on my show. And so, Chris, what have we missed here?
Well, I just wanted to say that I agree with Sean wholeheartedly about education. And that's a lot of what I do in my job. I actually, Tree Care Advisor is my small consulting company with which I get no business right now. But I work full-time for a company called Urban Arborist. And I also started a group called Tree Guardians. I'm going to have them put the information up. I have a
What's the link?
Tree
for
Guardians. Well, let's stay away from the website right now because it's kind of in shambles.
In process. All right.
But I have a Facebook page called Tree Guardians, and you can contact me at treeguardians@gmail.com. And a lot of what I do in both aspects is education. And talking to people about the value of their trees and how, you know, mature trees are so important. I think one area where we need to do more education is with municipal boards, you know, trustees, even in some towns where they have tree ordinances.
I work with a lot of these municipal arborists, and they'll be trying to enforce the tree ordinance, and the tree, you know, the trustees will come along and overrule them and allow, you know, a tree to be taken down against their regulations, their ordinances. And I do believe we need more ordinances. There are a lot of suburbs that don't have them. But the other thing, and I was trying to think of, okay, well, that's penalty. What about reward? How can we reward people for keeping mature trees around and keeping them alive? And one thing I came up with is, because trees do have an effect on saving energy, stormwater mitigation, they take in the carbon and the other gases, and the Davy Tree Institute has a great program, iTrees, iDesign, specifically, that you can measure this. Why not give people, just like if they buy a certain appliance that saves energy, why not give them tax credits to keep and maintain their healthy, mature trees that are doing somewhat the same thing as far as saving energy?
Some communities that are beginning that process. I think it's Downers Grove that's trying to get tax credits, and you pay different rates on water bills. A lot of communities are trying to go this direction, where if you're preserving green space, if you're preserving trees, you know, if you're taking up impermeable surfaces, you get a tax break, or you get a tax penalty if you don't. It's not easy to implement, but there are a lot of communities that are recognizing these benefits, and iTree is a great tool to be able to do that, where a community can plug in all their street trees that they have and determine what their ecological benefits are in a dollar amount.
That's cool. And now, is it itrees.com?
It is itreetools.org.
Oh, okay. See, it's, now there's different iTrees out there.
Right.
They've iTreeTools.
Let me go back here.
Yeah, and it's in the public domain now. You don't have to pay anything. The basic software you can download, but the iDesign aspect is very easy to use. I don't even think you have to register. You just plug in some numbers. Is that right, Sean?
A homeowner can actually, they can go to Google Earth and or they click on it, they put their address in, and they'll get a view of their property, and they can put their trees in. Where they'd like to plant a tree, what species of tree you'd like, and you can go over time and see what ecological or what the value in dollars is of that tree on that property.
Yeah,
I'm moving around and determine where you get your maximum benefit for those, like the energy savings and things like that. It's very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, okay. I'm there on the site right now, itreetools.org. And they explain what iTree is, and it's part of Davy and Arbor Day Foundation and
U.S. Forest Service. Very, very good collection of, and the data on there is just gets more and more sophisticated. They keep plugging more and more information into the sort of analyzer things they use to determine those numbers. So it's very scientifically sound data. It's not just, you know, somebody, you know, sort of randomly coming up with the value.
Well, we need to wrap up here. So, you know, where do we leave people here? Obviously, learn about the worth of your tree by going to itreetools.org, Tree Guardians. Is that the guy with the shield in front that says no chainsaws? Is that your?
That's
yours?
Me.
That's you. Okay, I'll like you there. We'll like you. Of course, also go to treecareadvisor.com. How do we agitate for this, Chris?
Well, it's the people. You know, I see people on Facebook always complaining about how we have no power. We the people. Remember that? You know, we can do anything we put our minds to and just get together. Go to your town and say, hey, I want to see us start protecting our mature trees. And how can we do this?
And stop cutting them down to build McMansions, okay?
Oh,
can we start with that?
Or right Menards.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and not only that, and the impermeable surfaces that those buildings and the footprint they cause that is there forever. So, Anyway, well, it's been wonderful having you here on the show, Chris. And Sean, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
You have a great Sunday, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah,
thanks,
you guys,
Mike,
as well.
And Chris, thanks.
Yeah.
We finally connected. Here we
right.
go.
And you'll be hearing from me.
I know. I know you will. Or I will. Yeah. I will be hearing from you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Chris was wearing his... Stand up, Chris. It says,
don't
call me a tree hugger. I'm a tree kisser. And if you want to know the picture that's on there, go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you will see the picture of Chris hugging, not hugging, but kissing a tree. It's worth the trip.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Watch out, here I come.
Can we just dance? Can we just spend the rest of the time dancing?
I'm game.
All right, let's do it. And let's bring in our dance partner, and that is Richard Christakis from Alsip Home and Nursery. How you doing, Richard?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Of course, because you've got your also Alsip is another fine sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, and next week you're having, you know, for those folks who missed the Flower and Garden Show at Navy Pier, they get to come to Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort and St. John, Indiana, and have a couple of days of great fun and education and great products.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I happened to visit the Chicago Flower and Garden Show at Navy Pier last weekend. In fact, it was very nice bumping into you and Jennifer Brennan. And, you know, I was very impressed with some of the beautiful displays. But if you missed out on that, we do have, I would say, obviously not the size of displays and size of the show, but one thing is the parking is a lot less expensive.
like free, maybe?
Yes, the parking is free. So if you want to go to a free, and there's no admission charge as well. So I think it's well worth it. There's free seminars as well.
Great. You know, and that's the whole deal is get people ready for spring. You know, this is really different from what you had going last year when we were in the 80s and it's going to be a whole different feel for those people. And I think they're going to be really happy to go into Alsip and see the flowers and see the seminars.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're glad that you're coming back to do a talk as well. And, you know, you've kind of like-minded as far as I am, as far as recycling goes. And, you know, I glad to hear you plugging our recycling program earlier. I was listening to the show a little bit earlier. And so, I mean, I think it's a great tie-in. People need to realize, you know, how not green the green industry can be when you're talking all these plastic pots. But now they've come up with new processes to recycle these pots and reuse this plastic.
Well, tell me about that a little bit, because I'm very excited that you're doing that, because it's an issue that I've been pursuing for years and trying to get garden centers to recycle their plastic pots and getting gardeners to do that. I've got a garage full of them that I think I'm going to bring down with me next week.
Right.
Is that okay?
Can I just bring myself to throw them out either. I know how you feel.
I just hate having them in a landfill. Right. And it's not been easy to get the industry to do that. Why is that, Richard?
Well, for years, the grade of plastic that was used was not a grade that was that they were able to actually melt down and reuse. It was actually a, you know, obviously, you know, when it comes to making money, you have to cut some costs, and that was one of the things that, you know, people couldn't compete by using that more expensive grade of plastic that was recyclable. But now the technology has advanced and processes have advanced to where they can recycle that plastic. So now there are some in the industry that are taking the ball and saying, hey, we are gonna take advantage of this situation and say, all right, we're gonna take back these pots and we're gonna actually recycle them and we're gonna be the leaders and we're gonna set the trend on it.
Well, I'm glad that you're taking advantage of that. Do you know, are there other independent garden centers getting on board with this?
As of now, I haven't heard of any. I'm sure there are some, but none that I have been in direct contact with. The company, the plastic manufacturers out of Michigan, they're East Jordan Plastic, who has this fantastic recycling program set up. We're in a unique position where we are also the grower and the retailer. And this recycling program works through the grower. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take all these pots back at our stores. And I don't care where you bought it. If you bought a hanging basket at Walmart, as soon as that thing dies, we'll take that pot back and we'll give you a 5% off voucher on a future plant purchase. And then we will take that pot to our growing facility and we will store it until we've got a full semi-load and we're going to send it back to East Jordan and they're going to recycle them and reuse them again. So that way they don't end up in a landfill.
That's amazing. And now, is there a limit to the number of pots that people can bring in?
At this time, it's one per visit. So you can get a for every individual purchase. So say you bring in 10 pots, you can't compound the 5%, but
right.
You can get 5% off individual plants. So you know you don't get 50% off, but you'd still obviously the more plants that you buy, you'd keep accruing 5% off each one. So
actually,
we give you a voucher.
No, that's great. Actually, the thing I was concerned about was, is there a limit to the number of pots you can bring back in?
You know, within reason, we've got enough storage.
Don't bring a truckload, okay? Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I would assume people are going to bring in, some people might bring in 10 or 20 pots and they throw them in the back of the car. That's not a problem,
yeah.
Is it?
No, not at all. And that would be great. We would be very happy to see that.
That's fabulous.
Very happy.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the big flower show next weekend. And again, it's Saturday and Sunday, and you're open from 8 a.m.
Till 9 p.m.
To 9 p.m. Wow, that's good. You're giving folks a lot of time. And I tell you, I think because of the weather, Rick DeMaio was saying earlier today that it's going to get cold again in the middle of the week. I think you're going to have a lot of folks show up and say, oh, man, I need to look at something blooming, you know?
Yeah, and one of the things that we're going to have at the show, it's pretty cool, as growers, we're able to get access to some of the new 2013 plants a little bit before the time that they're, ready for retail. I'm going to actually be doing a seminar myself along with our nursery stock buyer, Brian Angerman. He's going to be doing the tree and shrub thing, and I'm going to be doing the annual thing, but talking about the new introductions for 2013, and they're going to be finished product in bloom so people will be able to see them. Obviously, it's too soon to plant any annuals, but at least be able to get an idea of what they look like and get, kind of a teaser for the spring and give people a little more excitement going forward.
And you know there are going to be people who buy them, and they're going to take them home, and they're going to coddle them and say, "Stay warm." And then when it's ready to outside for us to plant, we're going to put those plants out there. It's you can't keep gardeners down. They want to go out there and work in the soil. But I will warn people right now: the soil is mucky. Don't do it. You're going to compact your soil. It's wet. Stay out of the garden. I wouldn't even do cleanup right now, because it is just so, the soil is just going to get so compacted. And once you do that, it's really hard to undo. About the only thing I would suggest, and here's a tip, it's actually kind of fun, that if you feel like you need to get in your garden and you want to do some work,
put a big board out and stand on the board, which will distribute your weight evenly, so now you're not compacting the soil. And I would suggest if you've got lawn, put it on the lawn so that you can reach into the garden to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you have to go into the garden, use something that's going to distribute your weight. But really, folks, I would say, you know, be patient. We'll get there. We'll get there. Just take it easy. Do something else. Go to a seminar, like at the Alsip Flower and Garden Show next weekend.
Yes. Great. I couldn't agree more.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to be there 11 o'clock on Saturday. I guess, you know what? We have talked about my talking about recycling, so I guess I'll do some of that. And I think what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about composting as well.
That'd be great.
And what's going on in the state of Illinois and what people can do and what they can't do and what they should be doing in their yards and maybe a little bit of recycling because I'm with the Chicago Recycling Coalition. And so I hope folks will stop by there. But you've got all kinds of great seminars about a lot of different things. And folks should definitely stop by at Alsip. Home and nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, in St. John, Illinois. In Frankfort, it's 20601 South LaGrange. In St. John, 10255 Wicker Avenue. And Chris, I will see you there next week.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In just a second, I'm going to have Rob take over here because he's got a friend that is doing some really good work, and I hope you enjoy it. Meanwhile, make your plants rich with Dr. Earth's Pot of Gold all-purpose potting soil. It's a 100% organic and natural handcrafted blend, and it contains Dr. Earth's proprietary probiotics, pro-moisture hydrate, and it's MycoApply certified, which guarantees that mycorrhizae are in the soil. Chris was talking about those earlier. Use in outdoor and indoor pots and containers or as a soil amendment for trees, shrubs, bare root planting, flowers and vegetables, mulching, and seed cover. Dr. Earth is sold only at independent garden centers like Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort in St. John, Indiana. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you and be sure to like them on Facebook for organic updates. First of all, never fall, baby, when you see you will stay. But I love you still. All right, sorry.
We're always having a good time.
Oh, I know. It's just we look forward to the musical breaks on the show. In the remaining minutes, Rob told me about this group, and I said we've got to have them on the show. Let's bring in from line two and from Daddies for Shorties, Andre Davis. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing real great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm just fabulous on a cool Sunday. Rob, why don't you take over? Because you're the one who told me about this group.
Sure. I met the Daddies for Shorties as part of the Open Lands Garden Keepers class, which Julie Samuels was in the studio talking about earlier this year. And, you know, I've been working with a lot of community gardens for a while now, and I really have to say these young men have impressed me with what they are doing, organizing a community on the West Side over in Austin as part of the West Side Health Authority. They are organizing a march on March 23rd. They're going to have a 1,000-man march in Austin, starting up at the old Brock Candy Factory and marching along all the way over to Laramie and up to Chicago Avenue, just to get some community organized. And Andre, why don't you tell me more about what's going to go on?
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, this march is for the men to step up and play a more active role in their children's education. So that's why we're really getting this march. It's time for the men to be accountable and to guide their children and other people's children and getting a better education that they deserve. So this is what this march is really about. You know, we are fathers mentoring group, and we want the fathers to step up and play that important role because children need their education. They're trying to close our schools on the west side, so it's our time to take a stand, and we need to take a stand right now. So that's why we're really coming up with this march. We got to get the men involved because the women have been doing it for way too long, so it's time for the men to step up and take a stand.
Well, I just want to get the word out about the number to call in case people want to get involved in the Daddies for Shorties 1,000-man march, Austin Community, next Saturday, March 23rd. And that is contact the Westside Health Authority, 773-786-0187. 773-786-0187. We just got about a minute left there, Andre. How come you guys are involved in the this gardening class, the Garden Keepers?
Oh, well, yeah, we got a garden from PCC Wellness Center. They said they want to try to start a garden, so we had came up. So everything just falling into place, you know. It's God's will. We're going to get this garden started, and I'm very happy, and I'm very grateful that this is happening to a group of young men that's really trying to do something positive in their community.
You know, Rob is just really impressed with you guys. I talked to Julie Samuels yesterday at the Good Food Festival. She's really impressed with you. It sounds like you're doing great work, and I think this is an awesome opportunity for people to step up, and I hope they do.
Yes, it's going to be great. I can't wait till we start growing our vegetables and eating good and healthy.
Well, Andre Davis, Daddies for Shorties. It's a 1,000-man march next. And I think people figure out Daddies for Shorties. It's you and the kids. Daddy's taking care of their kids. So, Andre, thank you for being with us. Let me know how it goes and keep in touch. Okay.
You guys take it easy.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Wow, that's cool. All right. I'm glad we were able to sneak that in. Okay. We're at the end of the show, and there's only one thing left to do is go green or
go home.
Go home.